I'm Sandra Elzerman, and today is June 5th, 2013. I'm here with Lucy Cunningham at 24 Allen Street in Hudson, New York. This interview is part of the Oral History Summer School Intensive, and I've been paired with Lucy. I'm an Oral History Summer School student participant, and Lucy has graciously volunteered to be interviewed as my interview project for the school. Lucy, would you go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Lucia Fiorentino Cunningham, and I'm 52 years old, and I've lived in this area all my life. I have a husband and two children.
Can you tell me where you come from?
Right here, 254 Union Street. Well, actually, I was born on Allen Street, right next door, and then we moved over to 254 Union. But my parents come from Italy. I'm first generation.
Can you tell me a little bit about your parents and their experiences coming to the country?
My uncle was born here. My grandfather was a coal miner. So since my uncle was born here, he was an American citizen. So he was able to get papers prepared to call my dad over. And we're talking back in 1953-ish, 52. And my dad and my mom were courting at the time. And the papers were ready to go. So my dad said, well, if you want to go with me and be together with me, we're going to have to get married. So they had to get married like within a month. So he left right away. And then my dad worked here in the factories and got everything prepared for my mom and called her over. Like, they were separated for 5 years. And then I was born about a year later after that.
So when did your mother arrive?
My mother probably arrived in 57 or 58.
And where did they come here to Hudson?
Right here on Hudson, right here on Allen Street. Okay. They did, right here. My Uncle Don used to own a soda fountain shop right on the corner of 2nd and Warren. Right now, currently, it's called Vico. But that was the in place for the 50 kids to hang out. It was a soda fountain-ish, and they had all the 50 cars, and, you know, the boys with the rolled sleeves, and it was really 50-ish, jukebox going. So, yep, this was our area right here.
Can you tell me a little about, you said that you arrived shortly after your mother arrived.
Yeah.
Can you tell me some about the rest of your immediate family?
I'm the only child. And all my relatives are over in Italy. My Uncle Don was the only relative that I had here. So we took several trips to Italy every other year, 2-3 years. We would go over and, you know, visit my family. My parents had their parents, they had my grandparents. So I really didn't have anyone here, no aunts or uncles. I do have two cousins, and that's about it.
How did you get to Italy? On the trips before?
Fly, yeah. They came over on a boat, but they didn't have to go through Ellis, the island Ellis, because everybody signed in there. They came a little bit later, so they didn't have to do the whole immigration thing. They came in as with papers.
And you said that your father worked in the factory?
Yep, my father worked at, it was the mushroom factory back in the day. And that was located on 2nd and Columbia area. And then that turned into the candy factory. And then, unfortunately, I think it caught on fire. And then he worked at Lawnbrook. They made, like, insulation for vehicles. It was called textile. Then it was Lawnbrook. And then he helped Fabiano built homes back in the day too, so he did a little bit of everything.
What was the mushroom factory like? Do you have memories of
that?
Yeah,
I do. My parents worked, my mom worked there too. They used to work the swing shift, so my mom would work during the day, my father would work at night, and so one of them could watch me, and I remember seeing, the cans would go by and it would fill it. There would be pickers. People would sort through the mushrooms with their little aprons on. So I sort through the mushrooms, fill the cans up, and then it would go through the process of sealing and labeling and then back out. And then when it was a candy factory, that was fun for all the kids because they were handing out the really big lollipops like to all the kids for nothing. I mean, it was like a dime a dozen.
Do you have memories of going to the candy factory or
no.
just getting the candy?
Yeah, just getting the candy. My parents didn't work there as the candy factory. Okay. My mom worked in a lot of the sewing. There was a lot of sewing mills, sewing factories for clothing, baby clothing, and stuff like that.
And were those factories also in Hudson?
Yep. They just opened them up in a lot of these little buildings, a lot in this area. Actually, we just passed one here on that little short street, 2nd and Allen. There was one below here on Allen Street, one on 4th Street, one on 8th Street. So there was a lot of little shops for the ladies to sew in.
And what other occupations did your mother have when growing up? Do you remember?
Yeah, no, that's all she did was sew. She went to her last job was L&B, which was down here in the docks. It's a big building, metal building now. They used to make chairs, wooden chairs and metal chairs. So she was a seamstress there too, sewing the cushions and stuff like that. But she was always a sewer. She never did anything else other than that.
So do you have some, what are your earliest memories of your family?
Which family? The over in Italy or here?
Either one. I mean,
being here, it was always fun to go to my Uncle Don's store. Because I was, they were always like, here comes Lulu, here comes Lulu. And they would throw money in the jukebox, and I'd come in and I'd do my twist because that's what I was known for, doing the twist in front of all the kids. So the teenagers really loved me. And so that was always a fun place for me to go. But then when I went to Italy, it was like really fun, but overwhelming because like my mom had 7 brothers and sisters and one brother had 10 kids, so it's like when I went there, he was bombarded with relatives. So, when I came back here, it was kind of wish I was there kind of thing, But it was okay. We did fine with our visits.
So, besides feeling over, you mentioned that you felt kind of overwhelmed with all the extended family members because there's so many.
Yeah.
Were there good things about that too?
Oh yeah. I couldn't get everybody's names straight for the amount of time that I was there, but yeah, it was a lot of good times. It was a lot of kids. I mean, I'm the only child, and so it was like I never had anybody to play with here, or anything like that. I didn't have any cousins or, so I was kind of lonely here.
What are some of your earlier memories of the neighborhood where you lived?
The neighborhood was actually our family. From 3rd Street down was considered almost like Little Italy. So you could go out at night after dinner, say 7 o'clock, and take a stroll and not be home by 11 or 12 just because you would sit and chit chat with everybody that are sitting on their little stoop, and nobody spoke English, everybody spoke Italian. So it was really comforting for all the people that came from Italy to be down in this area. And the little stores were all Italian, and you know, the people that were in the shops were also lived down here. So even when the women and the men went to work, they really didn't have to speak English because, you know, all their coworkers were, you know, Italian, speaking Italian. And, you know, if, as long as they had one person that spoke English and Italian, they could relate to the boss, you know, what's going on. So I really liked our walks that we would do at night, just visiting with everybody. That was like big family, you know, just doing that.
And what about, where did you live? What type of were you in an apartment or house?
I was born in an apartment here on Allen Street, but then I was a couple of years old and my parents bought a house on 254 Union Street. And my father had gutted it all out and made it anew, and that's where we lived. It was a home house.
How old were you when you moved there?
I was 2 years old there. And then I went to school at St. Mary's, too. That's right here on 3rd and Allen. Now it's it's the parking lot right here next door.
Oh.
It burnt down.
Okay. So how many blocks was that from your house?
Not even. Maybe one.
Okay.
Going south. Just across South 3rd.
So what are some of your memories of going to school?
Going to school was fun. I went to St. Mary's and they had nuns. And when I went to school, I didn't speak English. So the nuns had a really hard time communicating with me. And then when they wanted to call my home to talk about me, they couldn't speak to my parents either because they didn't speak English. So there was a big language barrier there. But, you know, as the years went by, my parents got a little bit better. My mom really became very fluent in English. My father was never really he very bad dialect. But going to school at St. Mary's was fun. The nuns were strict. But it was okay. I mean, that's how I was brought up. So it was a good bringing up. I wouldn't give it up. I'm glad I went there.
And was that your entire, how long, what was the grade level?
There's two buildings. The one that burnt down was elementary school, and I think that went to a 7th grade. And then across the street, they built the high school. And there you would be junior, sophomore, senior years over there. And when the elementary school closed, burnt down, then they just made the high school the elementary. So there was no high school. So then I changed over to public schooling.
Do you have a memory of, you mentioned the school burning. Do you have a memory of that event?
Oh, yeah. It was a big fight, big fire. Actually, I'm not sure. I think they said that it was set. You know, it was a set fire. But, I mean, it was so hot that there's Allen Street, and then there's an alley, and then there's Union Street where we lived. The fire trucks were just going around the building and all the streets, waking up all the neighbors and, you know, telling them to hose down their houses because of this ashes and everything that were, you know, coming down. And the people's houses that were right across the street from I can remember their siding just like melting. And my dad was up on the roof with a hose, and the fireman asked if he could hose down the other people's roofs too while he was up there. So that was a very big fire. Yeah.
Was it at night or in the daytime?
It was nighttime. Nighttime. And that's why they were going around with their little microphones in the streets and waking everybody up door to door.
How did you feel when that was going on?
It was a little scary. I was more afraid of our house burning down. I wasn't so worried about the school, I guess.
What types of, I guess, in school, do you have memories of your teachers or classmates that you can share with us?
In St. Mary's?
Mm-hmm.
The nuns were what they were. I mean, they weren't too personable. I mean, I can't say I had my favorite. but when I went to public school, I found that they were more. It's kind of funny to say this because you figured in private school they'd be more personable one to one, but you know the guidance counselors in the public schools would take more concern with you, you know, and take you under their wing if you know something was going on, and they'll talk to you. Here with the nuns, they just go directly to your parents, and they was like, no talking to the student, like they kind of just went over us. But some of the kids from St. Mary's, we have a reunion still for St. Mary's and high school. So whenever the Hudson High has a reunion, they include the St. Mary's kids too, which is really cool because they kind of intertwined.
What do you have memories of what you did after school when you were school age?
After school? Well, because my parents are so old school, I was not really encouraged to go to college. So my role in life was to marry and have children because that's the way they were brought up and they didn't know any other way. So it's about what I did. I got married and then I had two little girls and that's about it.
When you were growing up, what kinds of things did you do for entertainment or like after school hours or on the weekends?
Being the only child and my father was very strict, I didn't really get to do a lot of things. But, I mean, there was playground after school. There were basketball games, roller skating. I was permitted to go roller skating, so roller skating was a big thing. As soon as I found out that I could roller skate, I became a very good roller skater. I would go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so that was a big, big thing, is to go roller skating. Or you go over to a friend's house. I mean, back in the day, kids were outside, you know, and you used to go to somebody's house and you play, or you... And then, you know, we'd go over to friends of theirs, which would have kids, and then, you know, I would have somebody to play with and stuff like that. But I really didn't get to do a lot as a child.
Did you, do you have memories of your home life? I'm thinking of chores or...
I had lots of chores. Being the only child, I had a lot of chores. Yeah, everything fell on me. My parents worked very hard. So when I became of age to be able to stay at home, I usually cooked dinner for them, had dinner ready for them when they got home. You know, I dusted, I cleaned, and I washed the dishes. I pretty much, you know, helped out as much as I could. And then, you know, when my parents needed paperwork done, then I took on a lot of roles, you know, taking care of their finances and their, you know, their personal business and paperwork and stuff like that. So I became almost, I don't want to say head of the household, but pretty much did a lot of that stuff for them.
How do you feel about having that type of a role growing up and how it, I mean, may have, imp- I mean, did it have an impact on you as an adult, do you think?
I think it has. I mean, now as an adult, I'm getting to do a lot of things that I didn't do when I was a child. So I don't think I had a childhood. I mean, I grew up really fast, and I was almost like their caretaker. They worked and kept the house going and stuff, but whenever there was background taken care of, I took care of it. So I did miss a lot of my childhood, but I'm making up for it now. So it's all good. It's all good.
You said you did cooking.
Yeah, I cooked.
When did you start? Like, how old were you?
I'm about 10 years old, I remember. I was 10 and making dinner.
What kinds of meals did you have?
Italian. like my mom would take out stuff out of the freezer, and she would leave me a note, in Italian what to make. So I would make like pasta fagioli or spaghetti. We would do hamburgers and chicken cacciatore I would make, and steak with sauce and peas. Now you're gonna make me hungry because it's almost dinner time. So anything that was, pretty simple. I mean, they didn't go crazy. They would leave the meat out. The can of sauce was there. Throw in the peas, stuff like that.
How did you learn to cook?
I'm watching my mom. I was there. I mean, I was by her side 24/7, so I watched a lot. And it was kind of hard because she doesn't measure anything. So you just throw a little of this and you throw a little of that in, and that's what you get.
Did your parents have entertain at all, or have people come to the house?
Yep, they would have their Italian friends come over, usually on a weekend, and they would drink wine and play cards. And then on Sunday afternoon, there was always bocce tournaments in the alleys. Almost every block would have a group of men, and they would have their little bocce games. And then they would play their Italian cards. They would play scope. So they entertained in that way. There was like St. Mary's Hall. They used to have dances, so they would go there for dances, and of course I would go. And the Polish Sportsman Club, they would have polka hops every Sunday. So that's a way that they would get out and go. There was clam bakes. There was a lot more back then to do things for family like that than there is now.
What about church?
Oh, that's a big one. Church. We had Mark Carmel Church here on Second and Union, and the history of that was all the Italian men. Of course, they did masonry work. When they wanted to build the church, they would take bricks and they would go to door and ask people to buy a brick. So that church was bought brick by brick by people in the community, and then they built the church themselves. They did all the carpentry, all the electrical. People like with businesses, Italian families with that had businesses would donate the stained glass windows. My great uncle has one up there, and they had it. It belonged to the Italian people. It didn't belong to the diocese or anything like that. And then we went through some priests, Franciscan priests, and then we got one, his father Cletus, and he really was looking out for us. He was a really nice guy. And he says, you probably should sign the church over to the Albany Diocese so that, they can take care of you. And back in the day, you wouldn't think anything bad, about it. And the church, when it was with the diocese, like, they never had to put 1 cent into this church because it was self-maintained because the members took care of it. And they had hundreds of dollars in the bank. And then we had other Catholic churches in the diocese in this area. And I guess at this time, at a time, the diocese decided they had too many churches and they were hurting. So our church was one of the first ones on the block to get chopped. So that was a big, big scandal. We would go up to Albany. The whole church would go to Albany and, you know, picket in front of the church. Our members had a committee. They went to the Pope and petitioned it, I don't know how many times. And they also, at the same time, closed Sacred Heart, which was a ethnic Polish church. And then there's St. Mary's Church that was predominant Irish. So, like, every church had, like, their group of people that they, you know, had. So what he did was he closed the Polish church and the Italian church and kept the Irish church. And then he wanted everybody to go to that one because it was the biggest of all the churches. But after that, one by one, and then, you know, you still hear him up in Albany. He's still closing churches. But ours was the first to go. So that kind of led the way to... That was very hurtful for the whole community.
When was that?
Well, it's funny that you asked because we were just talking about it. I want to say... 20 years ago. I want to say roughly 20 years ago. Because I remember my daughter was young. Yep. And, I mean, the church was the glue, you know. We would have parties there, and everybody watched out for everybody else. They, you know, their kids or... So that was kind of hard.
Did you ever or take trips into the countryside out of town?
As a child, my mom and dad, we would take little rides here and there, but nothing. We didn't do any vacationing or anything other than going to Italy. That was our vacation. That was our trips. But not really. And it's kind of funny you say that because I remember after we got married, we lived in Hudson for about 5 years. We lived above my parents. And we bought our property out in Ghent. And just from moving from Hudson to Ghent, I felt like I was going to another country because I was always so used to being in Hudson that I never really knew anything out of Hudson. And then, you know, like when I would bring my kids to school here, I mean, all the teachers knew me. Everybody knows each other when we would talk and stuff. But then when I went to Ghent and I had to bring my child to Chatham, and it was like, I didn't know anybody. So, I mean, I could have just as might as well have gone to another country. It was just like not knowing anyone.
Oh, you mentioned the roller skating rink. Where was that?
I can't even say. It used to be the old Grossman Outlet. It was out on Fairview Avenue. Let's see, it's by a Hess station, but now that place closed too. But the Pizzas owned that. And then from there, out on 9H and 66, it was another roller skating rink. And now there was another one down at 9H that opened up later on when my kids were younger, but that closed too.
What did you enjoy about the roller skating? I'm just curious. You said that you really took to it.
My freedom. I was out of the house. You know, I got together with my friends and I was able to be out, you know, and a couple had befriended me, which had a little girl, and they used to do championship skating, and they kind of took me under their wing and they kind of showed me moves. And, you know, whenever it was like the couple's dance, or the husband or someone after that had learned the step would, you know, skate with me. So it was pretty cool. It wasn't just going around in circles. We actually did some dance skating, which was fun.
Where did you meet your husband? You said you married soon after high school, was it?
Yes. I'm trying to think. Was I don't know how old I was. 77. 21? 21, 20, yeah, about 21. Okay. I had known his sister. We were in class together, and then one day I brought her home, and there was this really nice-looking guy on the steps, and I said, "Ooh, who's that?" And she says, "That's my brother." So soon after that, we became really, really good friends. We were friends for a long time, and then we started dating, and it was on from there. Actually, tomorrow is our anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, as a, do you have memories of being a young teen in the area, and what types of activities did you do for dates?
No, I didn't go on many dates. A lot of the boys were afraid of my father. I wasn't really allowed to date. I had really strict curfews, so it was kind of hard for anybody to fit it into their schedule. I used to work nights, so I would get out of work at 10, and I would probably have to be home by 11 or 12, 12 o'clock. So I didn't do much dating.
Oh, and so how did you get to know your husband then? With
He would come over to the house on the weekends and have dinner and stuff like that. Then after he got to know my father got to know my husband, then he was a little bit more lenient of the time and stuff, but really not too late. So a lot of action at the house, at our house. There was like, I couldn't go out.
So what did you do at your house with?
Oh, just chill, watch TV, sit around, talk, eat. A lot happens at the dinner table. So a lot of eating.
So, what eventually made, or how, what, how did you come to get married? I mean, what, can you tell us a story about that?
I don't know. I mean, what is there to say? I mean, we dated, and, they liked him, and we set a date. We announced our engagement at my parents' 25th anniversary without my parents knowing. And then we told them the date that we were getting married. So we had everything kind of set. So we just went with flow from there. We set the date, called the banquet hall, the band, and that's it.
What was the wedding like?
Because I didn't have that, it's kind of hard because you don't have a lot of family members, so you have a lot of friends, and so it's like where you draw the line, you know what I mean? So there was a lot of friends. I mean, a lot of people are almost like family. My husband had a big family, but a lot of them lived far away, so a lot of them were, I think, just his immediate brothers and sisters came.
And how was there? Was a wedding at the church? Is there a kind of a traditional celebration of Italian weddings in the community?
It was at the church. We got married in a church, and then from the church we went to the hall.
And is there? I'm just curious about the tradition. I mean, if there's a tradition of the hall of how you celebrate.
No, I mean, it's not like, you know, the Jewish people where they do the glass, or, I mean, we don't do anything We have to do some of the traditional dances like the tarantella and stuff like that, but there was nothing, traditional, maybe the food, but there's like nothing really out of the ordinary, being Italian for the
Do
wedding.
people bring food to the
No,
wedding,
no,
or is
no.
it just
The
okay?
caterer. They took a lot of food, but they didn't bring a lot of food. Back in the day, they all had their little doggy bags.
And so where did you live after you were married?
After we got married, we moved right above my parents at 254. It was a two-story house, and we made it a two-family house. We made the upstairs an apartment for us. So we were there for at least 5 years. I had my two girls there. And then it was getting a little snug. And I really wanted the girls to live out in the country. Because by then, Hudson had been changing. It wasn't like it was when I grew up. And I just wanted to get the girls, out in the country.
And about what year was that?
81.
81.
Nope, I'm sorry. That's the year I got married. 89.
What does your husband do?
He worked at Columbia Corporation, Columbia Box. That was out in Chatham. And they made it artist board and cardboard, corrugated cardboard, and stuff like that. And that closed. And then he had small other jobs till he went to work for New York State Thruway. But now he's on Social Security disability, so he's retired.
And how was, you said you moved out in the country when your girls were
Five, three
five,
and five.
three and five. And literally in the country or just to a smaller.
To me, it was country. No, it's country. I mean, we have like 3 acres around us. There's not, too many houses around us.
And you said you wanted to move because Hudson was changing. Can you
Yeah,
tell
it
me
was
about that?
changing. A lot of, our friends had started moving out, so the people that I was growing up were starting to move out. So, and there was, new people moving in, and I just felt that, they would have a backyard. My father had a garden in our backyard, so I think my girls had a 2x4 area of grass that they could play in. And they could ride their bikes out, in the country and stuff like that. I mean, it's not like growing up in the 60s and I could ride my bike all from 7th Street all the way down to Front Street and everybody knew me. And they could be on the phone with my mom and say, "Hey, I just saw your daughter, ride by the bike." My mom would always know where I was. And then, back when you start getting into the 80s, that's like 20, 30 years later, it's just not a small community anymore. There's, not that closeness.
And how did you like living out in the country?
I didn't like it at first, no. And all my neighbors knew that I was from the city of Hudson, or just the city, because I had lights all around my house. They said I really lit up the hill when I moved there. It's a big joke now. I was always used to having a house or a window or of somebody's around me. So, and when I heard sounds, I knew what they were. But when I was out in the country, it was like you look out and it was pitch black. And if you heard sounds, I didn't know what they were. So, and my husband was working swing shifts, so sometimes I was there at night alone with the girls. So, I got used to it after a while. But in the beginning, I didn't like moving and being out there.
How do you think it was different for your daughters being raised out there in comparison to your experiences living in a close proximity to other people in the neighborhood type
Oh,
environment?
I became the soccer mom with the van, and my house became where all the kids came from elementary school to high school. It was all the kids came to our house. It was the party house. So, and I don't mean party in a bad way, but there were sleepovers. We had a pool. They came over to the pool. you know, the kids would call, walk in and out, call me mom, and, you know, that kind of thing. And that was, I liked that because I saw who she was hanging around with, you know. Both my daughters, I got to see, you know. And it was good for the kids because I pretty much, I left them alone, you know. I didn't, wasn't a, you know, right on them. I let them do what they wanted and made sure they were safe. But with me here in Hudson, we would play out in the streets, and like my parents really didn't know who I was playing with, but they did, you know, they did, but they really didn't, you know, they would hear from the neighbors where I was and stuff like that. But I mean, I had more control out there in the country. And it's funny because now my oldest daughter wants to move back to Hudson because it's become such a cool place. It has changed a lot. And I would say since 10, 15 years, they really redid all the buildings.